This is Morning Edition on KUNC. I'm Erin O'Toole. This week marks 6 months since heavy rain flooded 24 Colorado counties, damaging scores of businesses, homes, and roads, and claiming 10 lives. For the next few days, we're following up with some of the people, places, and resources impacted by last September's flooding. Colin Eisenhardt is one of thousands of homeowners that had to be evacuated. He and his family live in Big Elk Meadows, a community of about 160 residents nestled in the mountains between Lyons and Estes Park. The main road into the area, County Road 47, was heavily damaged. And even worse, the flooding destroyed the community's water system. Since I last spoke with Colin back in November, he and his family are still living in an apartment in Longmont, but they are able to get up on weekends to work on their home, which suffered moderate damage. Colin, it's really good to talk to you again. So at this point, what is life like in the Meadows? I mean, is it anything close to normal?
People are starting to come back now. Once they got the temporary roads in and they got the electricity set up and things kind of stabilized, then people who don't have to, like me, who have to live in the valley and travel down every day, they could then kind of come home and live up there again. I guess it was more like 2 months, actually, that the electricity was out. Each individual homeowner is starting to build their own water system in their house so that we can haul water back and forth in the back of our trucks to get us by until they rebuild the water infrastructure.
Yes, your water system, unfortunately, was destroyed by the flooding. Can you remind us about that? Because it's a pretty unique system.
Yeah, it's a pretty non-standard way of doing things up there, but it works really well. Mm-hmm. We used to have a series of lakes, and we would draw water from the lakes, and then we had a distribution system. So once it went through the water filtration plant, it got distributed out to all the houses, and that's just been decimated.
Right. I remember the earthen dams were in danger of breaching, and then they basically washed away, and that took your water source with it.
Yes, exactly. They, even the ones that we had just had repaired and invested in, well, they all washed away.
There was a concern because this was on private land, and so not eligible for FEMA money to repair this. Is that still the case, and what's going on with repairs?
Well, this is my understanding of it, is that the roads are our responsibility. Since they're, you know, owned privately by us, the Homeowners Association, we're responsible for them. We have to rebuild all of those. There is some funding for the dams to be rebuilt, which is really good. So now it's just a matter of getting all the engineering done and borrowing some money, because we're looking at probably $6 million worth of funds, so a portion of that FEMA will help us with, and then I think it's like 25% of it we'll have to pay. So we'll have to take out loans for that.
How many residents live there?
160.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So each homeowner is now kind of coming up with their own water system. How does that work?
Well, you get a tank, and there's lots of aid organizations that are donating tanks and trying to help out, and okay. So that's really neat. So you get a big holding tank and you put it in your garage or under your deck or in your crawl space, wherever you have room for, so you can pump water into that out of a big tank that you haul around in the back of your truck. So you can buy the water in Lyons, or the Homeowners Association is trying to set up a couple of tanks so you can buy the water right at the Homeowners Association there. Mm. Then you fill up the tank in your garage and then pump it into your house.
So what's the capacity? I mean, how often do you have to go and refill your tank?
You have to be real skimpy on water. A 400-gallon tank will probably last you a week if you're lucky, if you're careful.
So the long hot baths are not happening.
A thing of the past. But we're excited because now you can have a shower. So at least you can have a shower. So that's a big deal for us.
That is an improvement. What's the focus right now of cleaning up? And I'm assuming cleanup is still going on in earnest.
Oh, yeah. The engineering for the rebuilding of the water system, the cleaning out of the lakes, getting all the debris out of the lakes and reforming those on a individual basis, there's a lot of stuff going on with individual homeowners, and where they're doing mold mitigation, and aid organizations are helping, and we've got volunteers from the fire department and from, you know, the community that are helping organize groups that are coming in and, you know, stripping drywall and carpeting out of the homes and cleaning mold and trying to patch the drywall and things like that.
Do you have a time frame as far as the water system?
We're hoping for the fall that the water will be back up and going.
Well, and of course, between now and then, the snow is going to start melting. What are your concerns or plans for dealing with spring runoff?
We are really curious as to what that's going to be like. I don't expect it to be anything like the initial incident, of course, but our focus, I guess, is to open up to get as much of the debris out of the rivers as we can, so that when the water comes down, it can flow through and it doesn't get hung up on stuff. So there's a lot of Forest Service and some of the private land that we own. So all of that, we're trying to help out and get cleaned up.
Are there resources, you know, that you are finding helpful in, you know, either coping with this, you know, emotionally, financially?
Yeah. FEMA was a little disappointing. I mean, their rules and regulations make it really hard, and you do a lot of work, and you pull together a lot of paperwork, and you give it to them, and then they say, oh, you don't qualify. And, oh, sorry, the freeze happened after what we consider to be the incident, therefore we're not going to cover any of the damage that was done to your heating system. And you're stuck with all those costs of rebuilding a heating system. That's really difficult, and I had hoped that they would be able to help out with things like that.
Right.
There are other groups. Crossroads up in Estes Park has been really, really nice, and they're doing a lot to help people build the systems and help defer some of those costs. And just volunteers coming and helping, you know, pull out drywall and kids that are coming and taking their spring breaks or whatever time they have and come out and work.
Yeah, and some of them have come from completely other states, too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, you get kids show up and they're wearing shorts and baggy pants and everything else, and it's freezing and about to snow, and they didn't prepare very well. But they're tough, and they work through it, so it's very impressive.
Well, many of the areas in Colorado that were hit hard have largely recovered. Do you feel that maybe the rest of the state has already put this behind us, maybe too soon?
People, every now and then, they'll say, oh, you're still not home?
Right.
You know, they're surprised about it. It's just, as soon as you head west, if you head up to any of the mountain communities west of Boulder here, you'll definitely immediately know as soon as you hit Lyons that it's not over.